Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL coming to you live and direct from MacCity.com.
Hey, it's Fat Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two. You'll have some fun now with me and all the gang.
This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Hey.
In the old days, you couldn't hooky school because behind every drawn shade was an eye. And before your mother got off the bus into the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house. Parents don't know that today. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was two? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola. People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cops shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Brown versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. We've got to go in there. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner. It can't speak English. It doesn't want to speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't where you is, go wild back. I don't know who these people are. And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. This is all in the house. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't land a plane with why you ain't where. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth. Why can't you hit the streets? Why can't you clean it out yourself? It's our time now, ladies and gentlemen. It is our time. And I have good news for you. It's not about money. It's about you doing something that ordinarily we do. Get in somebody else's business. It's time for you to not accept this language that these people are speaking, which will take them nowhere. What the hell good is Brown versus the Board of Education if nobody wants it? I mean, this is the future, and all of these people who've lined up and done whatever, they've got to be wondering, what the hell happened? Brown versus the Board of Education. These people who marched and were hit in the face with rocks and punched in the face to get an education, and we got these knuckleheads walking around, don't want to learn English.
Man. Check 1, 2. Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL. Chiming in one time for your mind. From MacCity.com. My podcast, Mac City Limits. And, I woke up today. I was listening to a podcast last night. Mr. Nasheed's podcast. And, I was rather put off by it. I was a bit perturbed and shit, and I went to sleep, and lo and behold, when I wake up, I had a text message from my cat, nigga Fuchsia, And he was up in arms. He was livid. You know what I'm saying? Evidently, he listened to the same podcast, and he felt the same way that I felt about the podcast. And it basically states that, you know, Mr. Cosby deserves to be lynched due to the fact that he's highly self-critical of the black community, man. You know what I mean? And I was just like, God damn, man. It's like, there just ain't no justice in this world, man. You know, you do all this for black folks, man. And motherfuckers, niggas will sit back and just watch you burn, man. They'll sit back and watch you motherfucking burn. No matter how much work you done put in and you tried to do the right thing and be righteous for black folks, niggas will sit back and watch your motherfucking ass burn, man. Shit. So my nigga, man, nigga Fuchsia was like, nigga, we got to speak on this. Now, fuck that, because, you know, Mr. Cosby's a soldier. He been in the game, you know, going on 50-plus years of putting it down, you know what I'm saying? So we just can't let this shit slide, man. We got to go ahead, balance the equation, balance the scales, and speak on this, talk about the flip side, about what's going on with Mr. Cosby, you know what I'm saying? Because we not riding with that shit. Before I go ahead and call my partner, once again, I like to stress, me and my partner, Tony, we do not feed into the division, the divisive tactics of quote-unquote white supremacy. We support Tommy Sotomayor. We support Tariq Nasheed. We support Bill Cosby. All the little petty motherfucking differences that all these cats might may have about what needs to happen and what don't need to happen in the black community, fuck all that, man. We are not about to sit back and watch any of our brothers burn. Regardless of any sort of disagreements that we may have with him. You feel me? We have disagreements with Tommy. We have disagreements with Tariq. We not robots. We not sitting back saying we going to ride with this team or this clique. Fuck that, man. We not on that, man. So, once again, we do not feed into the division. We love and support everybody that's trying to do something to try and help, you know, their fellow brother and their fellow sister, man. That's what it is. But, of course, we will speak on things that we not necessarily digging, man. Shit. So, with that said, without further ado, let's get into the business. You feel me? Get in, man. Check 1, 2. Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL coming at y'all live and direct from MacCity.com. It has come to this, my brothers. It has come to this. Yes, me and my partner, Tony Dreamer, a.k.a. Nigga Fuchsia, must be the guard dogs of, should I say, all that is holy and decent in podcast land. Because once again, we have someone who seems to be out of control with this so-called, these coon accusations, man. And we must set the record straight. We must go ahead and, what I say, balance the equation in the universe, because we see some things that's going on that's just not quite right and not sitting well with us. And today we're going to talk about the whole Bill Cosby situation. You know what I mean? It's like some of these cats out here, they should I paraphrase the term, throwing Bill under the bus with some shit. And today we're going to have to call out some names. We're going to talk about Mr. Tariq Nasheed and his scathing indictment Bill Cosby, basically talking about how, you know, he wants a butter biscuit and he's finger waving and, you know, he's being a coon. And so I had to call my partner Tony Dreamer to go ahead and spit his spit on this whole situation. So what do you think about that, my man? What's up?
Well, let's be fair, because I don't think he used the word coon.
Okay.
I don't think he used the word butter biscuit.
Okay.
But the gist of his podcast,
right,
was that somehow Bill Cosby is getting his comeuppance from white supremacy as a result of him throwing black people under the bus. That's the implication.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is this, and it all comes from this idea that Bill Cosby is harmless, that he's never spoken out against white supremacy.
All right.
Nigga, please. Mm. Bill Cosby was speaking out against white supremacy before we were born.
Okay.
Bill Cosby was an activist in Hollywood before we were born.
Okay.
Bill Cosby came out of the ghettos of North Philly. Bill Cosby got a GED. Bill Cosby came from those same people that he criticized, so he damn well had a right to criticize them.
All right.
Stop trying to marginalize him because you feeling some kind of way about what he's saying, and it's reflecting some of your tales of ratchetry. Bill Cosby in the 60s was supporting and helping not only the civil rights movement, but segments, vast segments of the Black Power movement. I'm talking about that Bill Cosby. I ain't talking about no fucking Jell-O pudding pops or Kodak commercials.
Right.
That man put his reputation and his money behind causes in the Black community. Bill Cosby put his money behind Black institutions in the community.
Right.
Why they say he never talked about race. And since we dealing with his history, Bill Cosby did Hidden Colors before Hidden Colors was a concept.
Shoot.
And what I refer to in particular is the documentary he made called Black History Lost and Forgotten, where he charges European Renaissance writers and painters with straight stealing and jacking African genius.
Well, I've never heard of that before. That's what you know what year he made that?
Bill made that in the 70s.
In the 70s.
Bill made that documentary in the 70s. That damn thing is about 40 years old. So you're not the first.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So this concept that Cosby never took on race or that he was harmless, it's bullshit.
Right.
And a lot of this came from people like Michael Eric Dyson. When Cosby made that speech up at the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board at the NAACP, they're talking about this. That was a speech he made 10 fucking years ago. 10 years ago.
Right. And people want to weigh
sexual allegations. Give me a fucking break.
But
if we want to use an example, the Autumn Jackson scandal, at least Bill Cosby had the good sense to fuck a woman of age.
Okay.
Strom Thurmond fucked his 16-year-old domestic houseworker and produced a child. While he was telling Black folks he never wanted them to be a part of America and supporting segregation. He was an out-and-out racist, and he died in office. You know why? Because out of all those Black people in South Carolina.
Okay.
But Strom Thurmond was the plantation master. And you know why he stayed in power? Because he gave out buttered biscuits.
Okay.
The niggas kept him in power because he gave out appointments.
Right.
They ran a commercial where this motherfucker was totally incapacitated. His opponent ran a campaign that's showing Strom Thurmond totally incapacitated. He couldn't even use the bathroom. And they turned on his opponent. Including some of these niggas that got the buttered biscuit. But yet, Strom Thurmond can fuck his 16-year-old domestic maid. He gave us some money and funneled money out the back door to her. But when Bill Cosby fucks somebody and get a child, then all of a sudden it becomes a scandal.
Shit. Well, I don't think Tariq was basically talking about that as far as...
No, I don't think I'm making a point.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't talking about that.
Right.
That's my whole point.
Right, right.
You lay out all this shit about all these other... Let's talk about that.
Okay.
You already acknowledged that there are two different rules for Black people and for white people.
Exactly.
Why don't you attack the rule maker? Let's attack the rules.
Okay.
You want to talk about, well, he threw black people under the bus with his finger wagging. Well, George Wallace wagged the finger at black people. Bill Cosby wagged an index finger. George Wallace wagged his middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
And he was another one that black folks sent back to office. George Wallace did so much time as the governor of Alabama, it was ridiculous. They had a constitutional provision that said that he couldn't serve consecutively for so many terms. The motherfucker ran his wife, and she got elected. So if a man can say segregation then, segregation now, and segregation forever, can enjoy a peaceful term in power in the South, you're going to get on one black man about a speech 10 years ago.
And him expressing something that really is valid, and not only that, but, you know, it's funny how, you know, these niggas weigh the scales. They going to weigh that one bullshit-ass speech against the plethora of good and the money that he's pumped into all sorts of projects to boost black empowerment.
Yes.
That's the thing that's boggling my mind. I'm like, goddamn, nigga, like, cut this nigga a break. You know what I'm saying?
Let us not forget that when Spike Lee needed to make Malcolm X and he was short,
right,
he went to Michael Jordan, he went to Magic Johnson, and went to who? Bill Cosby.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shoot.
During the 70s, when those black actors were coming on board through blaxploitation, which I won't lie, in some instances is problematic, but it put a lot of black folks on.
Right.
The first film that opened the door was a film by the name of Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Go ask Melvin Pete Van Peebles, does he think that Bill Cosby is harmless? Mm. When white folks were ganging up against him, not and giving his movie an X rating.
Right.
So it wouldn't be seen. It was the single highest grossing independent film of 1971. And that got made because of who? Bill Cosby.
Right.
Mm. So you gonna throw away all this years of commitment of his time and his money over one goddamn speech 10 years. You know, that's like these motherfuckers that you can come through 9 times out of 10 for them.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
But the one time you do something they don't like, or the one time you don't give them what they want,
mm-hmm,
then they want to come out their mouth all greasy and disrespectful towards you.
Right.
So you going to forget all of that? Mm.
That's what it seemed like is happening, man. It's like, God damn, will you niggas stop this? They not balancing the scales, man. This shit is out of whack. It makes no sense to me.
Bill Cosby and Fred Sanford, a.k.a. Red Fox. The man's real name was Sanford. It was John Sanford, but I call him Fred Sanford because that's what people know him as, but his name was Red Fox.
Right.
During the era, it was Bill Cosby that opened up a black club and gave jobs to black people in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he was more militant than Red Fox. Red Fox had to calm him down.
Damn. Okay.
And while he opening up this club, niggas are stealing out the cash register.
Hmm. We's our own.
The same niggas are stealing out the cash register.
Mm.
Don't even give a damn to put their cigarettes out because the damn club burned down.
White supremacy must have did that.
Yeah, white supremacy stole out the cash register.
This is madness, nigga.
White supremacy didn't put its cigarettes out and burn down the fucking club. White supremacy did that.
Hell, man. Over one bullshit ass speech, you know. It's
over
like
one fucking speech 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they do business with white supremacy every fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
One speech.
Right.
And you do business with the same people that do in the black community on an everyday basis. When MTV started. They said they would not have one black person on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that changed. Michael Jackson and Run DMC changed that equation.
Right.
and led to the creation of a show called Yo MTV Raps.
All right.
And guess who was on Yo MTV Raps?
Shit, hit me. Who was it?
Bill Cosby.
Wow.
So here's a man that is supporting youth culture. You goddamn right he got the right to tell you to pull your fucking pants up.
Word.
He lent his credibility to that show. He lent his credibility. Furthermore, Bill Cosby introduced hip-hop during prime time hours during the Cosby show. Did them niggas forget that?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they forgot that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
They forgot it.
Mm-hmm.
He did the show where him and his wife was going out to dance and do the jitterbug to an old school dance song, and he bought break dancers on the show.
Mm, right.
He was the first person to showcase hip-hop in a positive light during prime time hours. Did you forget that?
Yeah, they forgot that, man. Mm-hmm.
I bet you Special Ed didn't forget it.
Right.
I bet you Special Ed didn't forget it. Special Ed was on The Cosby Show, if I'm not mistaken. Malcolm Jamal Warner directed a couple of his videos. And that was only possible because of The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm. Shit. What's killing me? Go ahead.
Because he didn't come out and give some fire and brimstone condemnation of white supremacy, they think that he never challenged the system. Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show, everybody getting lost in that shit about this image of the black father and all that. Bill Cosby showed America the beauty of black culture.
Mm-hmm.
He had Dizzy Gillespie on his show.
Yeah.
He had, at the height of Jesse Jackson's campaign against apartheid, he bought a South African activist and poet on his show to talk about apartheid.
Mm. But now all of a sudden they're saying Bill Cosby don't have the right to tell you to pull your fucking pants up.
No, he's throwing them under the bus. He's catering to white supremacy. If you don't get the fuck out of here with that.
Shit. And then they're also kind of like hitting us with the implications, like just like, kind of like what you said earlier, that Bill Cosby, he really didn't have any sort of black nationalistic bones in his body. You know, they, like you said, they're kind of making him out to be some sort of weak-ass dude, man, when,
yeah.
Shit, you know, the exact opposite is true. And so when people hear that speech, you know, they think that he don't have a right to make that speech when, shit, he done goddamn paid his dues. If there's anybody that deserves airtime to actually say some shit like that, it would be him.
It's him.
And plus, you said that this wasn't like something he said on the news. This was like at a private, like you said, what was that, a college speech or something?
No, it was an NAACP. It was a gathering of the NAACP. It was the 50th anniversary, I think, of the Brown versus Board of Education.
Right.
That was 2004 because the decision was in 1954.
Okay. And, you know, it was kind of like some shit he was just saying amongst our people, right? It was just like, hey, look, this is what needs to happen for y'all to go ahead and excel in life. You need to be more accountable for your actions. You know what I mean?
That's all he was saying.
Right.
Was he harsh? Was he harsh on it? Was he too harsh? Maybe he was, but so fucking what?
Mm-hmm.
So what if he was too harsh? White folks slap you across the face all the time, and you don't say shit.
Mm.
That's my point about George Wallace. That's my point about Strom Thurmond. They were openly hostile.
Mm.
Nigga, we ain't gonna never let you up in here.
Right.
And niggas put them back in office.
Mm.
Because they gave out appointments.
Okay.
Strom Thurmond and George Wallace were plantation masters. But yet in the late years of their lives, niggas went to bat for them. In other words, niggas will go to bat for open avowed segregationists. Mm. But won't go to bat for a man that has put his money behind helping the black community.
Mm. Man, we live in a bizarro world, man.
This is what I don't like about the Hotep niggas.
Right, right.
This is what I don't like about them. For them to be so historically inclined. They are historically retarded.
Shit. Fuck. Like, damn, Bill Cosby can't get a pass from one bullshit-ass speech.
One speech, he can't get a pass. 10 years ago. But you do business with MTV and VH1 now.
Yeah.
The same networks that said that they would never have us on their shows. The same networks that said we would never be on their shows, we would never be participants. But you can forgive them.
So Cosby, he's pumping his money into all sorts of programs and all sorts of media and entertainment that's promoting black empowerment. He's also, you know, coming out with TV shows that showcase black culture in a positive light. You know, he's also making documentaries 40 years ago talking about, like you said, the original Hidden Colors. And and then all of a sudden he has a speech that these niggas don't like. And they throwing him under the bus. I can't take it. I'm like, will you niggas stop with this shit, man?
For one speech. He didn't say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, or segregation forever.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even as bad as Uncle Ruckus.
Right. But you would think that, you know, any so-called Hotep nigga that's done his homework, that he would know the history of Bill Cosby, and he wouldn't even be tripping about the speech that he made, because you'd be thinking, if there's anybody that has the right to make this scathing indictment of the black community, it would be a cat like Bill Cosby.
The man who put his money up.
Mm-hmm. Put his money where his mouth is. You know, there's a lot of niggas that talk about it, but there ain't a lot of niggas that basically, you know, walk the walk. And Bill, he walked the walk and talked the talk by putting his money into this shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
Shit. Now we got to hear
documentary. What is it? That black comedic documentary. What is it? Why We Laugh or something like that.
I ain't never heard of that one.
It's this documentary that came out in 2010 or 2009 called Why We Laugh.
Okay.
It was a documentary on black comedy. And they said the same thing I'm saying. Mm. Chris Rock said that you can forget about Jell-O Pudding. Bill Cosby is gangster.
Okay.
The comedian, the guy on there said that for a man that has put so much money into black causes, he has a right to be critical in areas where we're not doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't want to defend him. And now you don't want to defend him.
Well, we are sick people, man.
Dyson threw up that shit about how his daughter had a drug addiction.
Okay.
Had a real bad drug addiction. A real bad drug problem. And he called himself pulling that out the closet on Bill. The inference being that, you know, he didn't give as much love to his daughter as he gave to his son that got shot.
Right.
What the fuck you gonna do with somebody that's drug addicted except get him some help?
Right.
What was he supposed to do, keep bankrolling her addiction?
Man.
You can't leave a crackhead alone in your home?
No shit. Shit.
There's some beautiful things that come out of the ghetto. James Baldwin came out of the ghetto. Malcolm X came out of the ghetto. Langston Hughes came out of the ghetto. Huey Newton and Bobby Seale came out of the ghettos of Oakland.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that every fucking thing that comes out of there is good.
Right.
And this conduct doesn't justify white supremacy. It strengthens it. This self-destructive conduct in the black community strengthens white supremacy. So you damn well better believe that somebody has a right to call it out.
Oh, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing, man. I'm like, God damn. I'm like, are you serious, cousin? Are you serious? You really gonna, like, I don't know what's the word, right word. I don't want to say Tariq was slandering him, but in a way.
He didn't slander him. Right. He just abandoned him.
Right, right.
And just left him out there. You're going to leave. I'm not defending him because he came down on black people and he threw black people under the bus. They try to make it seem as though he threw black people under the bus to earn some type of favor from white supremacy.
Exactly.
As much as Bill, this man, mm-hmm. as much as he's done.
Mm-hmm. Come on, people. Was the compile statistics. Very hard-headed numbers. Mm-hmm. And they are numbing when you read through them. You mentioned one out of three of homeless people are black. Blacks who make up 12% of our population. And here's a few more that you cite, which I think really does help us dramatize how critical this discussion is. And let's read them through here. Homicide is the number one cause of death for black men between 15 and 29 years of age, and has been for decades. Of the roughly 16,000 homicides in this country each year, more than half are committed by black men. A black man is seven times more likely to commit a murder than a white man, and six times more likely to be murdered. 94% of all black people who are murdered by other black people. Although black people make up 12% of the general population, make up nearly 44% of the prison population. At any given time, as many as one in four of all black men, young black men, are in the criminal justice system, in prison or jail, on probation, or on parole. Those are numbing numbers. They truly are. What do we do?
Let's deal first with what people call the systemic, the racism that exists in this country, which is absolutely for real. But people just say it. As well as systemic and institutional racism. What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is that the power structure can stop a person from getting a better education. It can stop them from living in better conditions. It can stop improvements from being made. For instance, if you have a slum landlord, if you're lower economic, to get that fixed, and to bring the law in on this person, it just doesn't happen. If police decide to ride in and arrest, if laws are made to go against you, I mean, this kind of thing is very, very hurtful. And then we move into areas of health care, where racism can stop a person from getting immediate attention in times of need, et cetera, et cetera. So when you look at education, it is my belief that it is there with a very ugly head. However, it is also my belief that this is not the first time my race has seen systemic or institutional racism. There were times, even worse times, when lynchings were acceptable. Sure, the newspapers wrote about it, but it happened. Juries were set and freed the people who did the lynching. Therefore, we knew how to fight. We knew how to protect our children, protect our women. Today, in lower economic areas, some people, not all, some people are not contributing to that protection. Therefore, when you see these numbers, you see numbers, and the character correction has not happened. Many times, it's the TV set, a BET or videos played, kids look at it and they admire it. It's the proliferation of drugs into the neighborhood.
And guns.
Yeah, that was the crazy part right there. I'm like, excuse me, cousin? Come on, man. Like, you get
out
of here.
You ain't gonna defend him? Really?
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Shit, man. Mm-mm-mm.
Are you serious?
Shoot. Ugh.
You won't defend him, but you who will go on VH1.
Mm-hmm. Working hand in hand with white supremacy. I'm just sick of this whole concept of white supremacy, man. A lot of these niggas, they too extreme with the shit, man.
White supremacy is real.
Yeah, it's real. But like I said,
but the question is,
everything
what
is
are you
white
gonna do about it?
Yeah, but like I said, but everything is white supremacy to these niggas, man. It's like just like
white supremacy didn't steal that goddamn money out that draw.
Exactly. You know, and if Bill Cosby would have went ahead and said something about niggas stealing shit out of the drawer, you know, cats like Tariq would have been like, you trying to get a butter biscuit. You trying to blame black folks because your money is missing out your drawer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, God damn, yeah. Nigga.
Hold on for a second, Doc. Hold on. Never mind.
Okay.
This thing about white supremacy and how criticizing black people don't help whites. I could see you making that analogy. If you said that, it would make sense if you said that about Armstrong Williams.
Okay.
I may not necessarily agree to it, but it would make sense. If you made that comment towards Armstrong Williams, or you made that comment towards J.C. Watt.
Right.
Or you made that comment toward Larry Elder. Or you made that comment toward what's the woman? Not Michelle Walker, the black conservative woman that married the white man. I could see if you made that comment towards them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any history in helping black people.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby does.
Shoot. Big time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we proceed, once again, we must really get this. How can I say it? Basically, what I'm saying is that me and you, we are not going to feed into the so-called division that's going on right now, or the schism with black folks and some folks saying this person's a coon and this person's pro-black. Me and you, we don't feed into that. Yeah, I totally support Tariq Nasheed and the stuff that he's doing, and you do too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this ain't no, you know, we don't fuck with this dude. And we too on our P's and Q's for that shit. We just want cats to be just a little bit more selective in who they so-called disrespecting with this so-called you ain't for the people shit, man. This shit is just getting kind of like under my skin, man. Especially when you know the history of certain cats that they throwing these indictments at. It's like, God damn, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Bill Cosby shit, that was like the last straw. It's like, fuck. If there's anybody that can talk shit, it's Bill Cosby. There shouldn't be no Negro out there that should even open their mouth talking about Bill Cosby don't have the right to criticize black folks, man. I like shit. He done put in the work. You know what I'm saying? So we want to get that clear. You know, we ain't picking sides. We ain't choosing this. We support everything that Cats is doing to try and empower the people, man. But yet still, you know, there's certain things that happens that, you know, if we don't see eye to eye, if we're not necessarily in agreement with, we're going to speak on it.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Right.
I do defend Mr. Cosby.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I do. If you choose not to, that's your business.
Right.
But I choose to defend Mr. Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC, excuse me, General Electric, which is the company that actually owns NBC.
Right.
You wouldn't expect much from them. Now, from that aspect, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
NBC should not be throwing
Bill Cosby under the bus as much as he did for their network.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he did for... Bill Cosby bought NBC back when they were losing to Taxi.
Right.
Mm-hmm. NBC was losing to Taxi, and they were reruns.
Mm-hmm.
NBC was getting his ass kicked by CBS and ABC, and part of that ratings war was reruns.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Cosby bought your network back during the 80s and 90s. So fuck you to NBC too, because I'm going to be balanced. If I'm going to get on the niggas, I'm going to get on the white folks too. I'm not just going to get on the niggas that I disagree with. I'm getting on the network too.
Right.
Fuck you.
Mm.
He made your network.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Cosby made more advertisers bought into that 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock time slot on Thursday than at any period in NBC's history. He should have been able to buy the goddamn network.
Yeah.
He should have been able to get it. But, of course, I understand they don't want to share power. I understand they don't want to give him any money. Mm-hmm. I mean, give him that kind of clout. I understand that. Because at the end of the day, this is about competition, and competition is war.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
And, you know, and we fully agree with the assessment Tariq made about how they want to keep all that money and that power within, you know,
yeah,
the white system. And so, you know, it would make sense for them to go ahead and try and castrate him now to try and, you know, cut off his money and whatever little money he does have left when he passes away. You know, it probably won't be able to get passed down to his, you know, his descendants, man. You know, we understand that. We're in full agreement,
yeah,
with that shit. But the thing that me and you ain't digging is, you know, it's like, how you not going to support a cat that's been in the war, you know, 40 years prior to you?
How you not going to support a retired general?
Right.
That's like white folks turning their back on George Patton.
Mm-hmm.
That's like white folks turning their back on Douglas MacArthur or Dwight Eisenhower.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Black people today love Eisenhower, and Eisenhower didn't do shit to help the civil rights movement. But you have some black people to this day that revered Dwight Eisenhower. When Birmingham was going up in flames and John Kennedy was up there in the White House, didn't do shit. Malcolm X said he's up there like Nero. He's Sidney.
Right.
While Birmingham is burning. That was Malcolm X's assessment. And today, if you go into most black folks' house, who's in there? Martin Luther King Jr. I know you've seen him. Martin Luther King Jr., Robert Kennedy, and John Kennedy. So you got all this forgiveness to people that have really brought nothing but pain, blues, and agony on our community.
Hmm.
But you gonna sit back with your arms folded on a dude that put money in the game to empower our community because of a speech he made 10 years ago.
A speech that he was more than allowed to make because he had earned the right to make that kind of speech. Shit.
Yes.
Fuck the dumb shit. If I put my money in anything, nigga, I can say what the fuck I want. Shit.
Yes. Yes.
Man. Ooh, wait. I don't know what to say, man. I'm just
gonna let the hounds lynch him?
Right.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Ooh.
And I agree with his assessment on these white women. Now, come on now. I agree with Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. When they were talking about, now they're saying how Don Lemon is throwing the victims under the bus. You know, because Don Lemon is, come on now. You had a choice in this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a helpless victim. Stop trying to play this stereotype of the oversexed black man that's trying to rape the white woman.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. Everybody know that's bullshit.
Right.
They can't even criminally prosecute Bill Cosby for that. Because the statute, even if they could, the statute of limitations is ran. They can't even do nothing, but the game is, I agree,
right,
to destroy his brand.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
But we not going to support him? You're not going to support him?
Mm-hmm.
You supported your black president who really hasn't done anything for you.
Right.
When did he do his second term? He gave you bad R&B music. We got your back. And an Obama phone.
Yeah, man.
He gave you a free government cell phone and bad rap music. Shit. And you got more love and support for him. And he hadn't passed any legislation, or very little, to benefit the black working class.
Mm-hmm.
But you going to turn your back
on a man that gave millions out of his pocket. Shoot. Just to further, you know, the cause of black folks.
Well, empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you know when a cat is real, when he dig in his pockets and he give. Shoot.
Well, and see, here's the thing. See, it doesn't stop at Bill Cosby.
Right.
They even jumping on Spike Lee's ass now.
Okay.
Spike Lee.
Okay.
The man who Hollywood hates.
Right.
You got some members of the conscious community calling him Spook Lee.
Why they call him that?
Well, because they say he's an elitist. Because he went to college. And he think he better than us because he got a college education.
Man.
And he attacked Tyler Perry stuff. Actually, he called Tyler Perry's movies coonery and buffoonery.
Okay.
But the Hotep niggas been calling them Spook Lee. See, every time you don't open your pocketbook to one of their causes, because it's really about money.
Okay.
When you don't open your pocketbook to one of their causes, then they come out with all this sellout and, you know, you're not true to the community and for the people and all of that shit. Nobody else had the guts or the balls to make Malcolm X.
Right, for real.
That Mr. Cosby put his money up for so it could be completed and distributed. See, it becomes fucking ridiculous after a while.
We are all worst enemy.
The nigga that played in Menace to Society, Clifton Powell.
Yeah.
The one that said, I don't care what I said, motherfucker, don't come to my house before 10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Russ Park talking about, Spike Lee, I beat your punk ass. He said, because Spike is worse than any version of the white man. Niggas eat each other.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas devour and cannibalize each other. Why? Because we is our own worst enemy. Is that white supremacy too?
Shit.
No. Right. Black, our conduct is not a justification for white supremacy. No, it's not. But it strengthens it. Mm. It damn sure don't hurt it. So I agree. You do have to challenge white supremacy whether your pants are up or down. Mm. But this is a war. And white supremacy controls the machines of propaganda. You don't.
Right.
You don't. So if you think that you don't have a right to be concerned about the perceptions of somebody that is destroying you in a war, you don't need to be giving anybody any advice about military matters. Keep spitting game. We'll listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Okay, well, hey, we was coming on, you know, with a quick show because, I mean, man, this kind of struck a chord with me and you because, you know, we both know what a soldier Bill Cosby has been in the game. And just to see, you know, cats, like you said, just fold their arms and sit back and just watch him get lynched, so to speak, you know, it was just too much. So we had to come on here and give our spin to balance the equation, man, for real. So one more time, any last thoughts, parting words, my partner, before we sign out?
Mr. Cosby should be defended. Mr. Cosby should be defended. And you gave the right analogy. It's like during the South when black people were being lynched, when they would drag a black person out the street and lynch him.
Right.
And other black people would watch on in silent frustration and not do shit.
Right.
That's what I regard this as. And if you want to let this man hang for one or two speeches when he's put in 30 years worth of commitment to the black community in one form or another, I vehemently disagree with you.
Okay.
And to me, that is traitorous. That's all I got to say.
Okay, once again, Fat Mac Almighty Triple XL, thanking my partner, Tony Dreamer, a.k.a. Nigga Fuchsia's coming in, dropping bombs on brain cells, man. And once again, we out. We out.
Hey, Mudfoot, you know what we're here for? Lay some treats on us.
Yo, this is one of that's that joint. Yo, that's that joint. Yo, this is another one from, you know who it's from. What? Oh, now you don't know who it's from now, right? Okay, now I'ma just tell you, you know this is from the diabolical, energetical, poetical, numerical, lyrical man. B-I-Z-M-Z-M-Z-A-R-K-I-E. Best in Zen, man, a point of rap, king in effect. If you ever try to disrespect the Bismarck key, disability checks you collect. But anyway, I'm just bringing you something, a new little something. Because you remember me from, you know, the Bismarck, and from the and all that mess. And you know, all the other stuff from like make the music. Yo, but I like to dedicate this to my best friend TJ Swan, my cousin Cut Master Cool V, my man DJ Marley Marcus. We in the studio doing this. This is for my new dance. So check it out. Everybody ready? I think it's ready to get I think I'm ready to get hyped. I'm the diabolical Bismarcky from picking boogers. The vapors make the music, you see. But now I'm bringing to you for your enjoyment. It's an animated dance for my employment. You might remember him from Saturday afternoon. He was my favorite character on any cartoon. But when you do the dance, you can't stay kaput. Everybody get up and do the Mudfoot. Come on, get up and do the Mudfoot. Come on, yo, you get up on and do the Mudfoot. Yo, do the Mudfoot. Now bust this out. I'm not even gonna get into no rhyming. I just want everybody to listen to the funky beat while my DJ Cut Master Cool V cut up with the name of this dance. You know, I can't really do all that stuff. You know, I'm not into that cut. But I want everybody to do the dance. I'm gonna show you. See, you gotta act like you crippled, like you just got one leg, and you know, you just gotta relax and just let the music take over your body and just chill. Cause this is the diabolical B-I-Z-M-Z-A-R. You know me from the Bismarck. I already said that already, but it don't even matter. Bring the bass line back in. Now bust this out. I'm just talking about, this is gonna be the new thing to take over the next century, cause it's getting ready to be the 90s. And I want this to be one of the hottest dances coming out. It's called the Mudfoot. You know, you can't do the butt off this music. You can't do the wop. Can't do nothing else off it. Can't do the Michael Jackson. Only thing you can do off this music is the Mudfoot. You can't be doing that Arsenio Hall. I don't know how you do that. or that IOU and Scoobin' Scrappin' and anybody else dancing. Only thing you can do off this is the Mudfoot. So come on, do the Mudfoot. Yo, I you know, I've been here, I've been in the studio for about a month. I'm trying to teach Swan how to do the mush, but I don't know what the heck he's doing. Marla can't even do it. Yo, I'm trying to teach Cool V how to do the mug foot. He doing the butt foot. I don't know what the heck he's doing. But the way you gotta do the mug foot, you gotta just kick it. You gotta be like flowing, you know? You gotta be flowing. I know everybody from uptown, by the Apollo, uptown, way uptown, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island, Long Island. Everybody from out of state, like Kansas City, California, everywhere. I can't even forget New Jersey, Newark, you know, Prince.
A lot of people have seen Bill Cosby in the last decade, where he's probably been best known for a lot of the very strong stances he's taken on behavior in the black community. On the one hand, he's someone who sort of introduced the idea that a black comedian didn't have to do racial comedy or political commentary to be successful, and some people criticized him for that. But, you know, at the same time, he was, along the way, the person who first integrated primetime television as the co-star of I Spy, who really made it all right for black stars and actors to be in commercials. In the 1970s, he was perhaps the leading pitch man in America. And yet, despite all of that non-racial appeal, in the last decade, he's perhaps been most known for taking very strong and often controversial stances on trends in the black communities. He gave a very impassioned speech in 2004 on the 50th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Brown versus Board of Education decision, basically saying that there were parts of the black community that hadn't lived up to their end of the bargain. The Supreme Court opened the doors of integrated education to them, and they walked away from it. And that created a lot of debate within the black community. And people wondered, is this the same Bill Cosby who was Dr. Huxtable, who never introduced race into his comedy routines? But one of the big themes in this book that I discovered was that Cosby always had those views. He always had very strong views. He made a very conscious decision early on in his career that he was not going to make them part of his comedy, partly because he wanted to do something distinctive. He didn't want to be just another Dick Gregory. Cosby also wanted to be successful, and he didn't think he could be as successful or even as rich as he wanted to be if he went around rubbing, you know, the nose of people in their bigotry. So that was a very conscious decision on his part. And when he had the opportunity, he really put his money where his mouth was. He's given tens of millions of dollars to historically black colleges and universities. He's helped put hundreds and hundreds of black students through college. He's paid the medical bills and the insurance bills for a whole generation of jazz musicians who were never able to save money. And to this day, even in his mid-70s, he still regularly goes into the poorest black communities to talk to young parents, to talk to children, to try to inspire him. So, you know, they have an expression in the black community, are you a race man? Well, Cosby always was a race man, a race man, a race man, a race man, a race man.